All right, guys, welcome to the Tom Ward Show, where we talk to the biggest creators in the world, and I have such a creator right here, Lar DIY. Lauren, I'm not even going to try to pronounce your last name.
I know, it's a mouthful.
Rizmaki. Thank you very much for doing it. You are a YouTuber, probably what you're most known for, but podcaster, TV host, and entrepreneur. Mm-hmm. Am I missing anything?
I mean, those are all very flattering, and yeah, I will accept those titles.
Okay, all right. Now, I interviewed you 3 years ago, and It was a much different Lar DIY than now. Mm-hmm. I was listening to the podcast. Now you're talking about sex, STDs from toilet seats, which was very interesting. Drinking. Uh-huh. I like this Lauren a lot better.
It's freeing and much more fun to be this version, like the authentic version of myself.
Yeah.
100%.
I won't interview clean-cut YouTubers anymore.
Really?
They're the fucking biggest bores.
I mean, it's
because you know they're not being authentic. You know they're partying. You know they're making bad decisions.
Yeah, right, as you should be.
Of course, you're 19 years old. Of course you
literally
should be. Yeah.
Uh-huh.
But it's just, you know, no, I have a young audience and, you know, I just go home and pray and all this bullshit.
And like, I respect
You know
that
they're
that.
At the club.
Yeah, you know they're at the club. I know, right. And like, I respect that for the creators who want to do that because like they're making content for a specific audience. I was doing that at one point.
Yeah, yeah.
But it just at some, eventually there comes a time where like, I don't know, it's things switch and you just want to be a regular 19-year-old, 27-year-old and you want to just like do what you want to do.
Yeah. Did you notice like a different, what was your demo before?
So the demo was, I would say average would be like 14 to 17 maybe was the average.
Young.
Yeah, maybe even a little bit younger. I think that like, I didn't even go into the videos, like the DIY and craft videos being like, oh, I want to target a younger audience. I just kind of ended up there because I chose to omit any swear words. So it was pretty like wholesome content because crafting isn't something that's like age specific. Like, you know, think of the moms on Pinterest, like those women, like they're hardcore crafters, but they're 45 or whatever. Mm-hmm. So it wasn't an age specific like niche of content, but I kind of ended up there by accident, which was fine for a lot of years. And eventually it was like, okay, it's time to transition out.
Did you have to like hide certain aspects of your life?
Oh my God,
you've been
literally
at this for how long?
So much. I mean, in Canada,
when did you start?
Legal drinking age is 19. So
okay.
I started when I was 19.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, I had a fake ID at 18. Like I was going out at 17, started drinking at 15, 16.
Yeah.
So it's like that side of my life was so, it feels like living like fucking Hannah Montana.
Yeah.
Like you've got your online clean cut, like family friendly YouTube persona. And then you have like your regular college girl who's going out 5 nights a week and like getting drunk.
Yeah. As you should.
As you should. Well,
yeah.
But if you want to,
we don't endorse that here.
You should.
Yeah,
exactly.
Did you have to like be careful about people taking like pictures of you or posting on their Instagram and tagging you?
It was like,
did you have to like tell
like
your friends?
Filter it.
Yeah,
it was fine. Like I didn't like do anything crazy to like avoid that. But if I met someone at the bar who like had watched my videos, I'd be like, oh my God, yeah, let's take a photo. And then in the morning, I'd be like, oh, I look messy. And like, I wouldn't untag myself, but I wouldn't like seek out posting drunk photos,
mm-hmm.
but it definitely happens.
Yeah. What else did you have to kind of do
like,
to maintain that? Other than like, yeah, what else?
I mean, I think the most, not stressful, but the most conscious thing that I had to change or alter was my vocabulary.
Okay.
I mean, like, I swear a decent amount, curse, and so, like, my friends who know me in real life, like, when I used to make family-friendly content, they used to call just, like, my regular life, like, Lar DIY After Dark, because I would just, like, curse so much in regular life, mm-hmm. and in these videos, it seems like an entirely different person, and so I had to make such a conscious decision to alter the way that you speak, which is, like, takes up a lot of brain power.
Yeah. It's almost like you came out of the closet, kind of.
Like,
I mean,
literally,
really, like you're living like an
genuinely.
Authentic life now.
Yes, yes, 100%.
Is that how it feels?
Oh my God, it literally is the most freeing thing that I can say fuck in a vlog and no one bats an eye anymore. Like, it is so incredibly freeing.
What did it do to the brand deals and stuff? Did that change at all?
Nothing.
No shit.
Literally nothing.
Wow.
Nothing, which was so, because I mean, I anticipated having to take a bit of like a hit there.
Of course.
Because I was like, okay, well, like P&G is not going to want to work with me, like if
I'm
dropping F-bombs every video.
Yeah.
But because brands understand that when they work with an influencer, they're signing on to be endorsed by that person themselves. And so, like, I think that if brands weren't okay with that, they just didn't reach out. And there were brands, most brands, majority of them, were okay with it.
Huh.
And so, you know, if they watch a video and see like what my personality like is like, and they're like, yeah, I'm down with that. It ended up being totally fine.
Wow. Did your demo change at all?
Definitely.
Oh,
like,
okay.
Aged up like 10 years.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
No, you don't want a young demo.
So
no offense
good.
To young people watching this.
Right.
But you want your demo to age as you age,
yeah,
don't you?
Yeah, age as you age. And so that's where I got stuck, is like when I was 19 making videos for 16, like it was fine.
Cool, yeah.
Yeah, it was okay. But then like once I started creeping up into like 20s, I don't want to make videos for 16-year-olds. I don't want to make videos for kids.
Yeah.
And so being able to connect with, especially like females that are my age, is just so nice. And like the conversations and the connections you have are just so much more authentic when you're going through like the same shit in life.
Do you feel like is the podcast the best outlet to show that side of you, like the authentic stuff? Because it's tough to like, you're crafting to just drop F-bombs and talk about sex.
I mean,
like, it's not really appropriate there.
Yeah, it's a little harder to integrate that into like the craft videos. But I think the vlog channel and the podcast for sure was like, because it was a new platform, it was the easiest platform to really rebrand and be like, this is what it is right off the bat. Here's how things are going to go. And so it was nice just have like a refreshing, fresh start on a platform. And same thing with the vlog channel. Like when I made this decision, I just started a brand new channel to start fresh.
And you took a break from the regular channel too, right?
I took a little break. Yeah, I think I took about 2 months off to kind of decide in what direction I wanted to go in, because like crafting and being creative or something, there are like two things that I think I'm really good at. Like I'm not good at makeup. I'm not good at hair. Like the other niches of YouTube, it's like, I'm not a gamer. I'm not a beauty guru. So I'm like, this is what I'm good at. So how do I find a way to make it entertaining to people who don't just want to craft? So it's a creative outlet for creative content, but not necessarily a DIY tutorial.
And how often are you doing vlogs now?
A couple times a week. Just, you know, I found that it was easier.
Like no set schedule, just whenever you want?
Yes. Yes,
very
exactly.
Cool.
You're just so much more inclined to make content when it's not because you're feeling forced to make content.
Well, those daily vloggers, like that's the thing. I don't know how you could do
that. Oh my God.
I don't understand how you can keep up that pace.
It's not a healthy lifestyle.
Hell no.
It really is not. It's not sustainable and it is not healthy.
You film all day, you're editing all night, you're trying to think of what's going on tomorrow.
Yes.
No days off.
No days off.
Ever.
No days off.
And if you want to bank stuff, I mean, talk about a long day.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, or even like when I had like friends who were daily vloggers, like how do you integrate a brand deal that needs approval processes and needs to go up in a week's time? Like
that's
like
a good question. How do they do that?
I mean, it's a pre-filming situation where you would, you know, try and stack something up and just double film in a day.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I have sponsors too, and it would take like 2 weeks to get approval.
Uh-huh.
You know?
Yeah,
because
you need time. It's not a 12-hour turnaround, that's
no,
for sure.
No, because they have a million videos they have to go through and
for
make
sure
everything's okay.
Yeah, absolutely.
What influencers do you hang with? You said like hanging with your girls and stuff. Like, who do you hang with? Who? Not normal people, celebrities.
I mean,
what influencers?
Like,
names we would know.
Alicia Marie is like a girl.
Oh, she's cool. I interviewed her.
Yeah, she's great. So her and I feel like have gone through a very similar transition period in aging up our content. Like we've kind of been like in the lifestyle community for 10 years now. So we have like really bonded over the fact that like we are trying to grow with our audience. So she's great to connect with and just like, you know, share our war stories with. And then I'm trying to think of what else. We just had Harry Jowsey from Too Hot to Handle on the podcast the other day.
Nice.
Who is someone that I just met. And then I'm trying to think, like, I just
anyone off the wall that would be like, they hang?
I'm trying to think. I'm sure there's, oh, Brie Larson is someone who I got to hang with a handful of times.
No way.
We filmed a little collab and like got to hang out like 3 or 4 days. It was so, she's the sweetest human being in the entire world.
No way.
Like, the sweetest.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, that's probably like the biggest celeb.
Is it really? What kind of videos did you guys shoot?
So she wanted to flip her filming room.
Okay.
And so when she started her YouTube channel, I got to help and come in and like we kind of collaboratively redesigned her garage to be an entire YouTube space.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
All designed by you?
Together.
Oh, okay,
like
nice.
I helped pull together, but she had like some visions that she wanted to bring to life.
Okay.
Yeah.
Are YouTubers still cool? And before you answer that, as a YouTuber, right?
Yeah,
before
yeah
you answer,
yeah,
the reason I ask is the YouTuber TikTok fight.
Oh
coming
my God.
Up,
yes, yes.
I looked
yes
at the lineup and I'm going, I'm rooting for the TikTok kids.
Right, right.
Like, I don't know. And I've interviewed a ton of TikTok kids recently and not YouTubers.
Right.
And it's like, are YouTubers, is it still cool to be a YouTuber? Or does everyone want to be a TikToker now?
I've got two answers for this.
Go ahead.
So like, to Gen Z, no, it's like not cool unless you're Emma Chamberlain or like Cody Ko. Like, it's not cool to be a YouTuber. Mm-hmm. But on the flip side, I see TikTokers make it their entire like career goal to transition their audience over to YouTube.
They all want
to
do it.
They all want to do it because like that's how you create a sustainable career.
Yep.
So although the TikTokers are like where the cool content like originates from, and mm-hmm. I feel like all the trends start on TikTok, I spend God knows how many hours a day
Me
on
too.
TikTok.
Yeah.
It's not okay.
Yeah.
But for people, a creator who wants to build a brand, they expand onto YouTube.
And a lot of them can't make the jump because it's a lot harder.
It's so hard.
It's a lot easier to make a 15-second yep. clip than mm-hmm. to make a 10-minute video.
Yeah.
It's a much different skill set.
I have a hard time going the opposite way.
Do you really? Because you're wired different?
Yeah, I'm just wired different. I'm not wired like these 17-year-olds who can like bust out like 10, 15-second TikToks a day. Like, I'm just not wired like that.
How's your TikTok game?
Not great. Honestly, I try really hard, and I'm a consumer more than a creator on TikTok.
Okay.
And I try. I really do.
Do you dance at all?
Like, no.
Oh, okay.
I've tried a few, and it was just like, no one wants to see that. Like, you're too old. You're not good enough. Just like just skip that shit. Like, no one needs to see that.
What do you post then? What kind of stuff?
Just like lifestyle stuff. Like, I'll parody doing your dance really poorly. You
okay.
know what I mean? I've done like a few like DIYs that are really quick, and like sometimes those will go viral. Or just like making fun of my past self.
A lot of the
viewers on TikTok had like grown up with me. You know what I mean? Like maybe 5 years ago they knew my content. So when they see me again on TikTok now, mm-hmm. like it's fun to make fun of like the content that I used to make that they can relate to and they remember.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, it's a nice little bonding experience to like all laugh at me. Together.
You gotta laugh.
With me. Oh, you have to.
Yeah, you can't take yourself.
Also, like, have you seen my videos from 5 years ago? Like, you have to laugh.
Do you still have them up or did you take them down?
Oh, man, I wiped out, like, 400
oh,
of them.
Oh, did you? 400
yeah,
videos?
Yeah, I mean, wow. I have, like, 700 videos, though. So, like,
is that how many
it sounds
you
like a lot. It's a shit ton.
Jesus Christ.
So, like, 400 sounds like a lot, but it was probably, like,
it is a lot.
60, like, two-thirds, maybe.
Okay.
Yeah, privated. Not gone forever,
no, sure.
But just privated.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Can you do that with the brand deals you have? Do you have to keep them up forever, or once it's done, can you just take them down?
Yeah, usually there's
matter.
Like a usage period that's like 30 days, 90 days.
Okay.
So yeah, nothing that would fall under that range. But yeah, you do usually have a usage period where it'd have to stay live.
Oh, okay. But a couple years later, you're cool?
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
oh,
yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
So can you engage much? That's a thing I don't see. It's like you can't engage much on TikTok. You know, because you can't DM unless they follow you. So you can comment, but, you know, a Charlie D'Amelio post is going to have 10,000 comments. So, like, you don't have a way to interact with people that much.
It's really hard because, like, platforms like Instagram and YouTube, you can pin a comment. So if you want to have something be specifically in the comments that everyone can see, like, you can choose to do that and control that. But with TikTok, that shit just gets flooded down.
Yeah.
And so even if everyone asks the same question, you can only, if you answer it one time,
yeah.
99% of people aren't even going to see that. So it kind of feels like you're just drowning in the comments. And it's kind of like, it makes me not want to engage because it's so hard.
Well, too, and the flip side is if you get a hater comment right off the bat.
Oh my God, and it goes viral.
Yeah, then it gets, you know, 1,000 likes
yeah,
or 3,000
yeah.
likes. That's the first
yeah.
thing you see, and
yeah.
you're fucked.
I know.
You're like,
you're
I gotta live with
like,
that comment.
This is just, I put tattooed on my forehead, like, this is just me now.
Yeah, it's wild.
TikTok commenters are mean.
You think meaner than Twitter?
Oh, fuck.
I think Twitter. Sorry, Twitter.
Yeah,
I love Twitter, but the biggest haters.
They are. They're
anonymous, and they have 3 followers and new accounts with
yes.
no picture.
Yes. TikTok kids are mean, but they're also funny mean
yeah,
sometimes.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, the comment section of TikTok is its own community in itself
yeah.
because there's some funny shit in there. Yeah, you're right, though. Twitter takes the cake for meanness.
Twitter, yeah.
Yeah, Twitter. You're so right.
How do you deal with the haters? Like, what's the biggest thing you get? Like, what's the comment that, you know, you hear over and over again?
I'm trying to think. To be honest, I use the shit out of comment filters.
Yeah, 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 me too.
So I'm sure the ones that I get the most often are sitting somewhere that I never see.
Oh, nice, nice.
But I'm trying to think. I mean, the one that
you're pretty likable.
Like,
I mean, what are people saying?
Thank you so much.
Of course.
That is so nice of you.
Of course.
I mean, I do for the most part stay out of like most drama, so
yeah.
I don't have like controversial things that are happening mm-hmm. around me. But I think
Should you? With this new direction and chapter in your life, maybe you should have beef with TikTokers.
Oh my God, just start some fake drama.
Yeah, marry Jake Paul.
I don't know if that one's for me. I'll leave that one to Tana. I don't think that falls in my wheelhouse. But I'm trying to think like what the most common one is. The one that hurts the most is when, especially on TikTok again, when someone like refines my content, they're like, oh my God, I forgot about you. But they're like re-seeing. It hurts so
Ouch.
Bad, like in the soul.
Oh.
In the soul. And like, it shouldn't matter because I've cultivated such an incredible community that
yeah.
is still so large.
Yeah.
And like, I don't blame people for unsubscribing at some point because they weren't interested in the content.
Yeah,
it just hurts the heart a little bit.
Did you lose subscribers like in the last 3 months?
Yeah. Oh yeah, for sure.
Like a lot?
Yeah. I'm not entirely sure how many, like maybe 200,000.
Okay.
Over the span of like a year.
Okay.
But I expected honestly to lose way more.
Oh, no way.
Oh yeah. Well, I mean, if you build a brand for 9 years on
and
a specific, change
it.
Like most people aren't, well, maybe not most people, a percentage of those people are not going to be down with that.
Yeah.
And so I expected like a way bigger purge of subscribers.
Well, it's like, you don't remember this cause you're young, but Coca-Cola came out with a new Coke. Like in the 80s, and people were pissed. They're like, we like old Coke.
Give us the old Coke. Yeah,
and they were,
don't like
people
change.
Don't like change. They have the brand they like.
Right.
They like this version of Lard DIY, and you better give me that shit every week.
Right, exactly.
Well, how's the podcast going? Like, I was talking to Jeremy about it. Jeremy, very cool. We're friends on Instagram.
Love it.
We text. He's a bad texter, as you would call a trash texter.
He is a bad texter.
I've never heard the term trash texter before.
Trashy. He's a bad texter. People usually go through me to get to him.
Wow.
I know.
You're famous. Like, it should be the other way around. He should be relaying messages to you. You should be the trash texter.
I would love that dynamic in our relationship.
Yeah.
It's just not the reality. He's a bad texter. Bad. Like, doesn't text his mom back. Doesn't text, like, it's everyone.
Yeah.
It's not personal.
Wow. This is messed up. Jeremy, get your shit together.
I know. No excuses.
Yeah. But he was telling me, like, when you started the podcast, you set out to not have guests for the first, I don't know what he said, 30 episodes or something.
Yeah.
Like, we're not going to have any guests. We're just going to do it.
Yep.
Like, what was the thought behind that? Like, you wanted to kind of come up with your own content first?
Yeah. I think the biggest thing is that we wanted to find our flow and find our dynamic before bringing someone else in.
Mm-hmm.
Because, like, obviously, we sit and talk to each other all day for the last, you know, 2.5 years. But, like, when you're in front of a camera and you're trying to be entertaining and have engaging conversations, you're like, what does that look like?
Yeah, yeah.
So we needed to, like, feel that out first and get into the rhythm of, like, being conversational and... you know, also creating some kind of storyline for people to be entertained by for an hour. Like, it's a long ass time. So we wanted to really like nail that down before bringing in like a third party.
Yeah. So how do you prep for a pod? Like early on, like what was, were you just, hey, we're going to wing it, or we want to talk about this funny story, this one and this one? Like, how did you,
so we tried both.
Ready?
We tried both.
Yeah, yeah.
Winging it worked.
Really?
0% of the time.
Yes. Yeah. You can never wing it.
Literally
kids
never.
Out there, never wing it.
It's not it. It was
no.
Really not it. 0% of the time. We recorded a few, had them edited, and we're like, oh, fuck, that cannot see the light of day. Like, that is not a good
it
podcast.
It seems good at the time.
Yeah.
You're like, we just killed it.
Yeah, we just, like, chatted and hung, and it was funny. We made cool jokes.
Yeah, and then
not
you
good.
Listen. Not good.
Terrible. Terrible. So, like, we didn't have, like, an exact storyline of what we wanted to, like, really nail down all the points of. But we'd maybe pick a few stories to, like, build an overarching theme to. So, like, if we, for example, Jeremy accidentally did ketamine once. Like, completely by accident. And so we're like, oh, that's a funny-ass
yeah,
story.
Yeah, of course.
And
I want to hear more.
Yeah, right? Like,
yeah.
Like you're intrigued
you
by that.
Me, you got me
yeah,
hooked.
You're hooked.
Yeah,
you're
let's
hooked.
Go.
And so, like, we were like, okay, well, what other stories can we add into this? And you just go off of, like, that one, like, root story of the podcast.
How did the flow go? Was it tough, like, establishing? Because I do one with Griffin Johnson, the TikToker.
Right. Oh, yeah, that's
and,
right.
And it took a while to, like, because I'm used to doing it myself. You're used to doing your own videos. It's tough to go, like, am I talking too much? Should I don't want to cut them off. Or they're kind of getting a little boring. Should I cut them off now? Like, how do you, did it take a while to figure out that balance?
It wasn't too bad. Honestly, like, I'm relieved when I have something to, like, bounce someone off. And so, like, that was, like, a refreshing change for me. Because, like you said, like, it's usually just me and a camera, like, filling air by myself.
It's a lot of work.
Yeah, it's a lot of work. So it was nice to have someone to, you know, bounce conversation off of. But at the same time, we learned very quickly that if one of us is not 100% in the mood, you can't make up for that, like, lack of enthusiasm. So we would just have to, like, cut the day and try again the next day.
When do you guys record? Just whenever? Do you do an episode a week?
We do an episode a week,
okay.
Yeah. So sometimes we'll record on Sundays, and other days it'll just be, like, a weeknight if we have a guest coming over or something.
Oh, okay. And you shoot it here? Like,
yep.
Or
yep.
Record it here and the guests come here?
Yep, which is nice.
Who's been your big guest so far?
So we just started having guests. So Harry Jowsey was our last one.
Okay.
We had Manny MUA.
Oh,
who
yeah.
Is a beauty guru.
He's
yeah.
Old school, yeah.
Yeah, OG.
He's an OG.
Yeah. And then today we're having Zane and Heath
oh, nice.
Come on tonight. And then... I'm trying to think of who else we've had. Oh, and then Alicia and Remy, who have Pretty Basic.
Okay.
They were our very first collab. We did like a crossover collab, which is really cool. Okay.
Jeremy was talking about like the business of podcasts mm-hmm. to me. Mm-hmm. And I almost fell out of the chair when he shared the numbers, which unfortunately, guys, I'm not going to share with you, but...
Because I don't know the numbers.
She can't confirm or deny the numbers. Genuinely. But the money was ridiculous. And I had no idea there was that much money in podcasts, if you have a large audience, obviously.
Right, if you have a large audience. It's so interesting because it's a very different business than what most YouTubers are used to. So with a brand deal, we sign into that contract and you know exactly what you're delivering, you know exactly how much you're being paid, you know when you're getting paid, and there's just such like a stepped out process for it. With podcasts, when you do like 5 ads a video, it's a completely different situation because they'll say like, oh, do you want to work with this brand? And so they might buy ad placement for 6 podcasts for 4 months. And so you don't really know the payment breakdown of it. So you're really just saying yes or no to a brand and then hoping that your network is selling you at a good rate because they base it off of, I forget what the time frame is.
Yeah.
So they have a CPM based on what your average was over, I can't remember what the... I don't think it's a quarter. It might be the last quarter.
Okay.
So they have that CPM and it's roughly, you know, they're selling you around that CPM. So again, it's like kind of vague and you don't really know mm-hmm. what the price point is.
Oh, okay. You're just relying on your network. Like,
you're just like,
I hope we're not getting screwed here.
Yeah, literally we're just like filming ads that get put into the video and we're like, okay.
And how do you do that? Like when you're having a conversation, do you mm-hmm. have to like go, oh shit, I got a break now? For commercial or like how, or do you just do it and insert it? Like how do you do it?
Yeah, so we record the whole podcast this one sitting. And then when we do the ads, we usually actually don't have the scripts for them when we record the actual podcast.
Okay.
So a few days later, we'll go in, record all the ads, and then our editor will insert them at times that make sense in the podcast where there's kind of like a break in topics. Yeah.
After a story or something, here's the ad.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay. Do you have... Like, what's an average week for you? How much, the podcast only doesn't take that much time. Are you, like, when you wake up, are you just thinking vlog? Or are you thinking main channel videos? Are you, what are you thinking? Like, you wake up in the morning, what's your number one priority as far as creating?
Yeah, I mean, it's different every day because, like, vlogging is, like we talked about, like, it's kind of just, like, as you go. So, you know, you might vlog over a couple days or do 2 vlogs a week, 1 vlog, 1 day. Or a lot of my main channel videos have needed a few days of filming too. So it's like, okay, well, like, do I have to finish a portion of the main channel video to get it in time over to my editor to get it up for this Sunday? Or like, should I be making a TikTok today? I'm also like in talks with Instagram to do more like regular Instagram content with IGTV and Reels. So it's like, okay, what kind of content do I have to create for which platform? It's kind of, I think, like the main overarching like first thing in my head outside of like watching TikToks.
So Instagram, that's smart. So they're trying to get creators to go, okay, use Reels, don't, because they're penalizing you for taking your TikToks and just reposting them.
Yes. They're,
they don't want to see that logo,
they don't
obviously.
Want to have a logo. Yeah, exactly.
So they're going after creators to go, okay, just for Reels, and I'm guessing you can't post it on TikTok.
Right, it can't be, has to be original content.
Got it, okay.
Yeah.
Oh, that's very cool.
Yeah.
So what are you gonna do? You say you have problems shooting short videos. What the fuck are you gonna do?
Honestly, I have no fucking idea. Like, I genuinely don't know. It's a really great deal, so like, I wanna make it work because like, I've seen how effective growth on Instagram can be from Reels and IGTV. So it's like, you know that it does well, but like, I'm just trying to figure out the content calendar of like what that would look like.
Okay.
Cause it feels harder than making a 10-minute vlog. Like, it genuinely feels harder.
Well, you can do that in your sleep. You've done that
totally.
Before.
Right.
You're not like a TikToker who's been doing this for a year every day,
and
5 a day,
cranking
them out.
Yeah, exactly.
What about IGTV? Do people watch it? Like, I put clips of my interviews on there, like 8-minute clips. Nobody seems to care. I don't know. I guess you have to hook them early.
Yeah.
Because they just get that short preview.
It's tough. I just feel like there are so many different ways to consume content on Instagram now that it kind of splits the user's attention, right? Because it's like you've got posts, you've got stories, you've got reels, you've got the explore page, you've got IGTV. Like, there's just so many areas to be on. So I think it's tough because, like, personally, I don't watch IGTVs, but like reels, explore page, I consume a ton of that.
Yeah, me too, yeah.
Yeah, so I don't know. I'm not entirely sure.
What do you think of Clubhouse? This may be boring to a lot of people. It's interesting to me. What do you think of Clubhouse? We did a Clubhouse.
Yeah. Like, I have made some of the most incredible connections on Clubhouse.
Shout out to John. I can't pronounce his last name.
Oh, yeah, John Yushe. I know, John, we're so sorry.
Yeah, sorry, John.
Yeah, but like John, for example, is incredible. And I've just made so many. I feel like we reconnected through Clubhouse as well. And I think Clubhouse also gained popularity at the perfect time. Like when we weren't going to events or doing panels or any kind of conference or taking meetings, like networking was hard.
Yeah.
And Clubhouse was such a great way to connect with people just outside of the creator spectrum. You know, like obviously YouTubers are easier to get in contact with and there's mutual friends, but people on the business side, it's like as a creator, you don't have access to that when you're not out and about doing other parts of your job.
Plus your network and your managers, and they're dealing with Procter & Gamble.
Totally.
You're not.
Yeah.
It's like,
yeah.
Okay, you guys figure out that and I'll create the content.
Exactly.
I'll deliver the numbers.
Right. So this is a way to like kind of have a direct connection to the other side.
Josh Richards, who's a smart kid.
Totally.
And a fellow Canadian.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah,
guys
got to stick together.
Yeah.
He called it Instagram for smart people.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah.
Yeah. What I will say is that there are a lot of smart people on Clubhouse. A lot of random content. A lot of people who are trying to sell their e-marketing.
So many fake gurus.
Yeah, that's what it is.
Fuck fake gurus.
Oh my God, the fake guru game is... I was like, when I started getting into it, I'm like, how can they all have e-books on
they
how
have
to...
They have courses.
Yes.
Everybody's got a course.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh my God, incredible. So anyway.
What I never understood about them is, okay, if I've made $100 million,
yeah.
Why am I on Clubhouse selling anything?
Right. Well,
why am I not on a beach chilling?
Or
why would I help anybody?
Working harder.
Yeah, I'm good.
When you have that much time to be on Clubhouse, I'm like, it just feels as if your schedule maybe.
Yeah, and they're on YouTube too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. The fake gurus.
I hate them. The Dan Bilzerian story was great too.
Oh.
It was a shame. You never want to see, you know, anyone kind of fail, but
yeah.
It was the same thing. It was kind of all smoke and mirrors. I saw a couple YouTube videos about it.
Right.
They weren't really sure where the money came from. And
yeah.
His company, he made the money playing poker, but he probably didn't.
Yeah,
and,
yeah.
Like the whole house of cards falls down.
Right. He did a great job for so many years.
Oh,
though,
my
like
God.
Carrying on that brand.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Every guy wanted to see what hot girl he was with that week.
Totally.
On Instagram. You know, but yeah, the gurus drive me nuts too.
It's wild. Yeah. So smart Instagram or Instagram for smart people plus some gurus. Some
yeah.
Big gurus. Yeah.
Some good. You know, Swan Sit?
Yeah.
Shout
yeah.
out to Swan. I'm going to be interviewing her too.
She's great.
But she like made a career. She's wild. I'm excited to interview her because her deal was she was an exec at Nike and Revlon, like a marketing
yes.
exec. She couldn't even have her social media public. Because of her job.
Oh, right.
Like they had restraints on like what she could post and that kind of stuff. So she was private to now going and having a massive following.
She's like a Clubhouse influencer.
Yeah, like 2 million followers on Clubhouse.
Yes.
And now that's her career.
Right.
Like that's what she does.
Wow, that's incredible. Good for her though. Because like she really does have so much incredible intel and like knowledge to share. That's not a fake guru. That's
no.
a real guru.
She went to Harvard. Like I emailed her and they're like, her email address is swansit or something at Harvard.
At Harvard. Yeah,
I'm like, first
damn.
Of all, how long ago did you graduate from Harvard, number one? But two, I would keep that address forever,
100%.
Too. 100%. I'm 80 and I still have my college email address. Fuck yeah. What do you think? I just saw Twitter now is doing their own Clubhouse.
Oh, yeah.
I saw that last night.
What are those called? The...
Who knows? Spaces? No.
Spaces. Twitter Spaces.
Oh, is it Spaces?
Yes,
okay.
Spaces. Yes.
So now you have to do... Twitter? I mean, when does it stop?
I know. Well, it's just, you know, like when TikTok launched, everyone was like, no, I don't want to be on TikTok too. Like, it's just so many platforms.
And
like,
now everybody's on TikTok.
Now everyone's on TikTok, right. And so it's just like Clubhouse launched and then Spaces tries to be the competitor. And it's just like, you can't split your time between all of them. You'll burn out and die.
Are you like, because a lot of the creators now are getting involved in like NFTs and they're on crypto and then that's a whole nother story.
Yeah.
But are you like active investing in that kind of stuff or that's not really your thing?
Yeah. So NFTs, no. I feel like my audience would be like, what in the fuck is an NFT?
Yeah. I still don't quite. I can't wrap my head around it.
Oh my God.
Really.
I feel like I understand what it is, but it's not.
I understand what it is, but I don't know how to place a value.
Right.
Like, what is your most valuable piece of content ever?
Right. Yeah,
would
like,
it be
who
a
knows?
Tweet? It can't be a video, really, because you can't make that an NFT, can you?
Can you make it?
Where's Jeremy? I don't know.
I don't know. I don't know. Like a photo?
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
Oh, wait, no. A video, you can.
You can?
Because I remember with the Jake Paul fight.
Okay.
There was some part of it where whoever bought the NFT of him knocking out Nate Robinson also automatically got the last 10 seconds of his latest fight as an NFT.
Okay.
And so with the 10 seconds portion of it, I assumed that it was video.
Oh, maybe. Okay.
Maybe. I don't know. Anyways, I like understand what it is. I don't understand how to incorporate it into my life.
Like what would be your, like the founder of Twitter, Jack, like
his
first
tweet
which makes sense. Like, okay, that I get that.
Yeah.
But like, what would be the large DIY Twitter first tweet? Like what would be your thing? If you had to pick one piece of content over all these years.
You know what it is? I made this like hilariously parodied rap called DIY Queen. Okay. No way. And like the production quality of it is like fucking fantastic. Like it's incredible. The song is garbage and it's an entire parody, you know, of like my career. And so I would say something from that is probably like the most NFT-able. Like, did you see the girl who is the meme who's like smiling with the fire behind her?
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
She sold that for $500,000.
That's fucking wild.
Right. And so like
a meme.
I don't have that. I don't have like anything memeable, but yeah, the closest thing to like being memeable is probably that like parody music video.
Okay. Mm-hmm. I don't know. And then I was talking to the great Jeremy too before, and he's involved somehow in NFTs now.
Yeah.
It just, it's so, and this, again, sorry guys, this was boring. Sorry if you want me to talk about rough sex and STDs from toilet seats, but you can listen to the podcast to get all that great content. But yeah, the whole world is wild to me. And the other thing too is a lot of creators are kind of figurus too at the same time.
Yeah.
It's like, it's almost like stock manipulation, but in crypto, it doesn't seem to apply. So like with Doge, it seems like they all bought Dogecoin cheap, and then like Elon Musk, tweets about it, and then it just explodes.
And then they pull out.
And then they sell. Yeah,
and then
like,
they sell.
That's
yeah.
a pretty good racket. Yeah.
I do have Doge.
Yeah, me too. Yeah. And today it was like 50 or something.
I know. And so like, gonna hold for now.
I'm holding too.
Elon's gonna be on
Saturday
SNL.
Live.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
Hopefully talking about it.
I know. So I'm like, do I buy more Doge?
I don't know.
What do I do, right?
Do you buy more?
I don't know.
See, it's so expensive now though.
I know,
maybe
it's
not.
It's so expensive. I know.
I'm just holding.
I'm gonna hold. But yeah, like I'm definitely into starting to get, I'm like beginner level one crypto. So like I have some Ethereum.
Ethereum's way high too. I just saw that today, over $3,000.
Oh my God, I know. I've 3x my Ethereum. Like I got in early enough where it's like 3x now because it's jumped so much.
Oh, me too. Yeah.
And I have
Bitcoin
some
too. I interviewed Cameron or Tyler Winklevoss.
Oh yeah.
You know,
okay,
the Facebook guy.
Yep, they're
big crypto guys.
Yeah.
And I interviewed him with Griffin Johnson and we got done. And he was talking about Bitcoin and shit the whole time. And then when we got done, he's like, Tom, you should buy Bitcoin now. I'm telling you. It was like $18,000 a coin at the time.
Damn.
But because during the interview, we were talking about it. And like Bryce Hall interviewed him 2 months before.
Okay.
And he told Bryce the same thing. And it was at $9,000. And he didn't do anything. I would be fucking kicking myself if it's 18 and he told me to buy at 9.
Oh my God.
So he told
God.
Me to buy at 18. I'm like, okay, fuck it. Why not?
So you did?
Yeah.
Oh my God, hell yeah.
That's hell yeah. Sick. That was like 56.
Oh my God, yeah. I was super late to Bitcoin. Got in early on Ethereum, which is pretty good. And then I have some basic attention token, BATs.
What's that?
It's like a really obscure concept of like the idea that you'll be paid for your attention. So like, for example, you know, when you watch an ad, like sometimes you'll just be like looking elsewhere. It's the idea that the ad won't count unless your attention is actually on the ad.
What do they measure, eyeballs or something?
Well, I don't know. Like it's some a Black Mirror shit. I don't know.
I love that.
But it just feels like something that could become a thing.
Okay.
I don't know. And then I also have some Cardano or whatever.
What's that?
I don't even, honestly, I heard Ben Askren talking about it and I was like,
oh, okay.
I'm down.
Yeah, whatever, who cares?
Yeah, I was like, okay.
Like when I bought those, I looked at it like, this is money I'm going to throw away.
Right, it's like
it's I don't
gambling.
Expect to make
yes.
any money.
Yes,
it's
and that's
stupid.
How much you should put in. It's like,
yeah,
it's
I put
okay.
$250 in those.
I put $400 and I was like,
yeah,
it's okay, like we'll just, yeah, whatever yeah. happens.
Exactly, if
yeah.
I lose it, okay, it's not the end yeah. of the world, yeah. But I'm not betting the mortgage on those.
Right.
And
right.
neither should you,
and
too,
neither
if you're
should
watching
you.
This.
Investing advice.
Yes, absolutely. What was I going to ask you too? Oh, BitClout. Have you gotten into that at all?
I'm in BitClout, so one
should
of my,
we all buy your creator coin?
Oh my God, one of my good friends is like sold his soul to BitClout, Jake Udell. He
okay.
is like in it to win it. So he's I know everything there is to know about BitClout because he's like been dumping information on me.
Okay.
But I feel like it's one of those like NFT things I don't fully understand. I'm also interested to see like where the concept of BitClout goes.
What do you mean?
Well, just like the idea that you can
Well, first
own...
of all, you have all the knowledge. Explain to the viewer what BitClout is.
So BitClout is technically a social token.
Yeah.
I don't want to mess this up and make my friend Jake disappointed in me because he's so diehard BitClout. But it's like a social token
that all creators have,
but the creator doesn't own the token unless you were to purchase some of your own token. So I'm curious to see the longevity of the idea that like you could own a large piece of like Paris Hilton, but Paris Hilton doesn't control any of that like currency. I don't know, like I'm interested to see like where it goes.
It seems like it could be easily scammed too, because I'm small, my coin was like it fluctuates a lot. And
yeah.
I'm just a normal guy, so it went from like, you know, 600 down to 100 up to 300 or whatever.
Yeah.
But it was like 100 this week, and then somebody bought, you know, people bought, but this one guy bought $4,000 worth. I'm like, oh,
damn,
cool. You know,
right.
I feel good. Somebody taking a chance. But I thought about it. So the coin price shot up to $400.
Okay.
So I'm like, wait a minute. Because I'm small. This guy, when he drops $4,000, it would cause my coin to jump a lot more than if somebody spent $4,000 on you.
Right.
So he drops $4,000. He knows it goes up to $400. Immediately sell.
Right.
You just made
the manipulation,
some good dough.
Like, yeah, I don't know. So
I want to see if he sells. He probably will.
I mean, you can't sell yet.
Oh, you can't sell?
You can't sell yet. And so that's the other part about BitCloud is that you can't sell yet.
What? Are you sure?
I'm almost positive.
Oh, I thought you could.
Yeah, I'm almost positive you can't sell yet.
Oh, okay.
And so that's the other side of BitCloud is that, like, you don't know what the next step is.
Oh. I think you can sell.
Okay, we're going to double check.
We're going to have to double check this.
I know, because I'm like, fuck, Jake, I'm so sorry.
Right? We're not sure if you can sell or not.
Let me voice note him right now.
Yeah, go ahead. Oh, this is good.
Hello, I'm hanging with Tom Ward of Forbes, and we are debating on whether you can sell yet on BitCloud. I think no. Tom thinks yes, and I can't remember, so let us know. He's going to be so mad that I don't remember this. He lives and breathes.
So how much is his coin worth?
It's a lot.
Is
he's
really?
He's in the top like 25.
No shit?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
But is he making money off of this yet?
No, I don't think so.
But see, I bought my coin when it first came out.
Right.
I'm like, same thing with those. I'm like, I think I bought $250 worth of my own coin.
But then that means
like I'm betting on myself.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I go, okay, I bought it at 50. Mm-hmm. So I could, if you can sell, which we'll find out in a second, like I just made money.
Right.
You know?
Yeah. I want to say, we'll see what he says, but.
Okay.
Yeah. I'm interested to see what happens with it.
It's kind of cool because, like, you guys have made investing fun.
Yes.
Like, when I was your age, it was not interesting at all. It's like, okay,
stocks,
I'm going to buy stocks
bonds,
or a mutual fund or a fucking safe bond.
Yep.
Like, there's nothing fun about that.
No. Yeah.
But it's a lot safer, though, too.
Right. Like, that is, like, a safe plan. Like, that is your financial stability.
That should be your first step.
We are giving terrible investment advice. Doge.
Yeah, right? Invest all your money in Doge. Yeah, it's going to skyrocket after Elon's on Saturday Night Live.
And Miley Cyrus, it's going to be great. Put all of your mortgage money into Doge. investing, I think also, too, like, with the opportunities that, like, I've been presented, being an influencer and creating connections and building my career, having the ability to be an angel investor.
How's that been going? Have you been involved in that too?
So much fun. It's incredible. I'm like addicted to it. Like I wish that every time I do a brand deal, I'm like, okay, what percentage of this can I invest as like an angel investment?
So are you investing like real cash or like, well, if you don't know, a lot of times influencers will just be given a piece of the company to promote it. It's like, okay, here's 10%. We want Charli D'Amelio listed as an investor because that looks good for us.
Yeah.
Are you just kind of doing those deals or are you like throwing cash along into it as well?
Yeah. So mostly doing the angel investing side of like actually giving cash. Like
oh, wow.
Cash. Yeah. So I've talked to a few companies about doing more of like a strategic partnership side of things, like where you're just giving like your time, your name and your likeness to it. But
do you like those or no?
I mean, it depends. Like if the brand is right, like I think it's a great fit. And I think there's also like a great place where it's a combination. So Lolli is a brand that So they're honey, but for BitCloud for Bitcoin.
Okay.
So when you shop, they're partnered with like over 4,000 retailers. You get Bitcoin back as you shop.
Like a rewards thing, but with Bitcoin?
But with Bitcoin.
Oh, that's badass.
Yeah, which is like the most insane fucking idea in the entire world.
I like that.
Right. And so like with Lolli, like I'm about to sign on as an angel investor as like, you know, give a chunk of change, but also as someone who can help introduce how cool of an idea that is to a female demographic who probably has heard of cryptocurrency, but is maybe like too, like doesn't know where to start to get into it.
Yeah.
So it's a great like collaborative process to like kind of be on both sides.
Wow. So do you go on AngelList and like look at stuff or do you like, how do you find these companies? Because they're at an advantage like that we don't have is they get presented deals that we'll never see. So like I'm fascinated like behind the scenes, like how are you getting these deals? Like,
so
how does it work?
It's a combination of like sometimes they'll be presented with a brand and be like, hey, we'd love for you to be a part of this. You know, you kind of connect with them, see what their deal is, like if it's a good fit for you, yes or no. And then there have been a handful of brands that I've gone after being like, this is a really fucking cool idea. So Lolli was one of them. Another is this company called Stir. And
I know Stir.
You know Stir?
That's the financial one,
yeah,
right? I know
yeah.
the CEO.
Yeah,
because Charli was involved.
Okay.
She's involved in Stir, isn't she? Is that the teen banking one?
No. You're thinking of a different one.
Oh, okay. What's Stir?
Stir is also financial as well. It's like a financial organization.
Oh, I got you. Okay. Yeah, I got them confused.
But yeah, so that one I went after. Same with Community, the texting platform to connect with your fans.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So like a lot of them I've seen being like, oh, this is a fucking genius idea. I want to be a part of this.
Wow.
And so I'd love to be a part of it in any way that fits for you as a company. So like whether that be to take cash or to take like any kind of strategy partner, like I'm just down.
Wow. Communities where you see when Lauren texts, hey, text me at this number. It's mm-hmm. like goes through Community. It's not like her real number, but it goes to her phone.
Yeah.
Is that like the main, because there's a couple companies that do that. Is Community like the main ones though?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I think for creators and influencers, like obviously there are brands that do it as well for like their advertising purposes. Mm-hmm. But I think Community is really like spearheading the creator side of it. Like Obama has a Community number.
Oh, does he really?
Yeah, like Ashton Kutcher was an early investor as well.
So, dude,
like,
he's everywhere.
He is everywhere. I mean, Ashton Kutcher is like a massive name in the tech space. Like it's
oh
wild.
My God, yeah.
It's wild.
Also, did you get a text back?
No, not yet. I'm like, okay. Where's Jake? Jake, where are you at? But
wow, you're involved with some cool companies.
Yeah, and that's what I mean. Like I'm addicted. It's like, it's so cool. I think also I'm just in a position to have the connections where I have friends who are also doing cool things. And so to be able to, you know, have meetings with cool people is something that I'm so grateful and appreciative for. And I'm in a great place right now in my career to financially be able to afford it, but also learn so much more about being an entrepreneur.
Do you look at, because I talked to Bella Thorne's manager, Thor, he's funny. I was talking to him the other day and he was like, he's like super hyper and I should interview him one day on here. But he was saying, he's like, Instagram brand deals, it's over, Tom. I'm telling you, it's old news. He talks like a million miles a minute. He talks like he's from the 40s. Hey, kid, I'm going to tell you, yeah. Instagram's dead.
Yeah.
And he was saying, like, creators don't want just 75 grand for an Instagram post. I mean, us, we would kill for 75 grand for an Instagram post.
I mean, same.
Yeah, right? But you'd much rather have 10% of a company that you believe in.
Right.
Like, that's, like, why make money for someone else? Either have my own company that I want to promote, like yeah. That's how creators are looking at things now. Has your focus shifted over time too?
Yeah, for sure. So I haven't done a brand deal necessarily that's been like that, but I think a lot of creators are shifting like that just to understand like how it can be a little less transactional and just like a deeper partnership with a brand. Mm-hmm. Because when you're invested like that too, like physically invested with like with your money, but also on a personal side, like I have a skincare brand that I've invested in that I genuinely love and use.
Give them a shout out.
Kinship, so good.
Okay.
They're like organic skincare with amazing packaging and amazing branding, and they're a great, great company. And so that's one of the companies that they presented an opportunity to. I was like, oh, I love this brand. I tried out their stuff, gave them money, but also like I organically and authentically incorporate into my content because it's so natural.
Very cool.
Yeah.
Wow, this is an interesting chat.
Yeah.
We didn't talk about Craftopia.
Okay,
that's
yeah.
That's the only thing we didn't talk about.
Yeah.
Let's talk about it.
Okay, Craftopia is...
Season 2 coming up?
Season 2 coming out this fall, which is super exciting. So season 1 was a kids crafting competition. So on the HBO Max platform, it was one of the launch shows. So when the platform launched, there was, I think, 3 or 4 original titles. So
and you were one of them?
I got to be one of them, which is fucking crazy.
How did you get this... situation
chosen
like no way.
On the HBO Max platform.
Wow.
So to land the actual position though, there was a Warner exec whose daughter, 16 or 17 years old, pitched me to her mom to host the show.
Shut up. So one of your fans
one of
got
my
you
fans,
the job.
Literally, like, she is the sole reason why I have this
do you
name.
Know her?
Yeah, her name is Grace. We got to
give her a shout out. Grace, yeah.
Hi, Grace.
Wow.
So, yeah, she. We got to hang out a bunch on set as well, and so I got to meet her and stuff and thank her for this crazy opportunity.
Wow.
So they came to me with, like, this hashtag idea of Craftopia, and I got to come on as an executive producer and host to also just, like, help shape it as we started to develop it. And so season 1 was kids, and then season 2 is adults. So it kind of timed out perfectly
with
the
your content
shift of
shift,
my content. Yeah.
Yeah,
exactly. So it allowed us to be like a little more cheeky, and the crafts are bigger, the prizes are bigger, everything is just bigger and better this season.
Okay.
Especially now that we've gotten our flow. We've also got a new set of judges who, again, are a little cheekier and a little more sass to it.
Okay.
Because, I mean, you can't roast
you can't,
a 12-year-old
yeah,
kid
have
yeah, for their craft being yeah, like yeah. a little rough.
Looks
but,
so
like,
shitty, Bobby. Just give up.
Yeah, just give up. You know, yeah, this is the end of your
happening.
Craft career.
Yeah.
But when you've got, you know, and like we had some crazy people who would do the prosthetics on like The Walking Dead.
Oh,
like,
wow.
Like, these people are professionals, people who do all the costumes in Vegas shows. Like, literal crafting professionals would come on and make the most insane things.
Okay.
So season two is on like some next level shit. It's gonna be so good.
So what's the deal? So I didn't see the show. I apologize.
Yeah, no.
So
not taken.
You have three professional craft people on there. What do they do? What do you do in the show?
So it's a similar format to like most competition shows where you've got three contestants, we've got three judges, I'm the host, and there's two different challenges. The first challenge is a little quicker. It's a quick craft challenge. It's about an hour or so.
So what's in it? You give them supplies to make something or what?
They have, no. So Craftopia, like the idea is that there's like fucking everything. Like there's just literally every material you could ever need in your area. Mm-hmm. And so sometimes obviously like for one of the challenges, you started with a car.
Okay.
And so you get like the main base of it for some of the projects and you build off of that.
Oh, I got you. Okay.
Yeah. So challenge one is a little smaller and a little quicker. And sometimes you'll either just win like bragging rights or sometimes you'll get an advantage. And then the second challenge is like 3 to 4 hours long.
Oh, wow.
And that's like the crazy shit. Like that is just like the go all in. The car example was like creating some crazy, like build upon a, what are those little egg cars? The smart car.
Oh yeah, yeah. Okay.
So we had three smart cars in the studio and they built crazy like structures on top of them.
So what do you do as the host for 4 hours?
It's, oh my God, it's a long
day. You just text and like, what do you do?
I mean, so
you have to comment at certain points, right?
Yeah, you're checking in all day, so you don't just get to like check in at the beginning.
You don't get to go take a nap and come back.
Yeah, 3 hours off, so you're on set the entire time.
Okay.
So you go back and forth between like chatting with the judges and making commentary about like what's going on. You go check in with the contestants, see what they're doing, what they're struggling with, what their plan is. And then a lot of the times too, we would do like little pro tips.
Okay.
So you would be like, oh, like for example, today we're working with this. Here's our best tip to work with this material.
Okay. So they keep you busy.
Oh, they keep you fucking busy. And like you're in heels, like heavy makeup, hair done. We would shoot like 15 to 18 hour days.
How many, would you shoot a bunch of shows in one day?
No. Oh my God. 18 hours for like one episode.
For
one episode.
Wow.
So it's a long day for sure.
Oh wow. So everybody check it out. When's season two start?
Fall.
All right, cool.
Oh, yeah, it's going to be good.
What else you got to promote? What else didn't we talk about?
I mean, fuck, I think you really covered all of it.
I do my homework.
Yeah, you do your homework.
Unlike Jeremy, who says he does prep.
Yeah, literally no prep.
He's a bad texter.
Bad texter, no prep. But knows what an NFT is.
Yeah, what are you doing with this guy?
I don't know.
Sounds like a bad seed. Well, thank you so much, Lar, for coming on. Lar DIY, you're still branded as Lar DIY, correct?
Yeah.
Okay, you can't lose that name.
Yeah, you know what? I've spent too much time building the brand on the name, and I think it also like doesn't have to represent like craft tutorials. Mm-hmm. Like do it yourself can mean literally anything, you know.
Yeah.
Like it's flexible, it's just based on like being creative, and that's literally all I'm good at, so we're gonna hang on to that.
I like it. Well, guys, thank you so much for watching. Subscribe, we're doing live interviews. This is the first live interview since March of last year, so subscribe. See you guys.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to the show. If you could take a second and leave us a 5-star rating or a nice comment, it would really help the show. And don't forget to check out our YouTube channel, The Tom Ward Show. And you can always follow Tom on social at Matra1 on Instagram, TikTok, and Twitter.